Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, assisted by Gogs Mackay, we're back at the Paracast. We have another special guest this week. He will join us in the next segment. In the meantime, I thought perhaps, unless my two compatriots say no, in which case I lose the vote, doesn't matter that I hold the microphone controls in my hand, very democratic here, as they say, talk about last week's show in relation to the fact that people always seem to have evidence, but you never see much of it. Like, for example, we were talking about some videos that Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center said he had, but they're not posted online because he feels they'll use too much bandwidth. Now, I mentioned to him that I have the bandwidth. I would host or mirror those videos if he wanted, but I never got a response. Chris, what do you think?
I'm not quite sure what to make of that, actually, Gene. I thought it was a very magnanimous thing for you to volunteer to host the video, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't want to do that. Somebody on our forums posted some, I don't know, bit of hearsay that they thought that somehow Peter was tied in with the NSA. I have a hard time believing that. But it kind of makes you wonder why someone would pass up an opportunity like that after professing interest in having it on the air and sort of lamenting the fact that it wasn't. It doesn't make sense.
It almost harkens back to the Marley Woods case from Ted Phillips. And if you remember the last time he was on the show, and he wants to come back again, I told him that we'd have him back on in the near future. He said he was going to put all that stuff up on a new website. So for a few weeks, the website was in an early stage of development, and then it all stopped. So we haven't seen any more information from Ted Phillips. And once again, I welcome his participation.
Right.
It's the same problem. Now, the other person who says he has evidence and we never really get to see it is, of course, your friend Ray Stanford. And you got a chance to talk to him when you were in Washington, D.C. for the citizen hearing on disclosure. You spent 2 days with Ray.
And
you begged him, please.
We didn't get through all his material. I was absolutely gog-smacked. No.
actually, gogs, you have my permission.
To smack me.
Yes, please. Just a minute. Wait.
He is really on to something. I saw some of the most the most amazing analytical process I've ever even heard of in ufology, or in his words, AAO-ology, which is anomalous aerial objects, his preferred term. The problem with someone like Ray is that when you have such a intricate, involved data, to just put it up there for people to scratch their heads without context, it just doesn't make sense. That's why Ray has offered to show his data to anyone with a basic science background that's interested in seeing the real thing. But you have to spend days, literally days, to understand what it is that he's doing and how he has come up with what I consider to be replicated data. He's able to show in frames of his films and in other films from other people and other photographs, demonstrable, repeatable, and predictable ghost imaging, which he thinks may be tied into some sort of time compression scenario that the technology that these pilots of these craft are using. He showed me example after example of these bent-wing Delta craft, mothership-type craft where these objects are docking underneath, and ghost images of the objects that you can almost predict where they're going to be based on the analysis of a particular frame or photograph. And one of the things that really totally amazed me was he uses a technique of false color and bringing the signal out of the noise, literally, of these photographs. A majority of them are actually analog photographs and not digital. Of course, it's coming across on a digital screen. But, you know, for someone like Ray to try to put this information up online without explaining what you're looking at, it would be more confusing and do more harm than good.
He can't just write it up in a paper?
It's what he's doing right now. And he's interested in scientists and physicists and optical physicists getting involved in his analytical process. He's already shown this data to some very high-powered individuals whose names would be recognized by many of the listeners here at the Paracast.
You know the names, then?
Oh, I do. But, and I've seen the emails. One physicist called his work magnificent and claimed that Ray had given him just enough of a hint to help him tackle a major problem that he'd been dealing with, and thanked Ray for that wonderful little nugget that he needed to break through on some of his own research. So, you know, Ray's the real deal. I don't care what anybody says. I have seen it. I do have a basic background in science. I'm able to follow a line of analytical logic. I was absolutely blown away by what I saw.
You know, it would be worthwhile for you, maybe, Chris, to write something up for the forums, more extensive about this, at least enough to give people an idea that something really exists and it's available for people to see. And I think one of the concerns I have, of course, is that Ray Stanford is not the youngest guy on the planet. And we'd like to see him complete his work before he leaves this planet. Does he have any contingency plans for that? You know, what happens if he's...
That's a touchy subject. Ray almost died of a heart attack about 10 years ago, just before I really met him. He does have a degraded heart because of a misdiagnosis of a heart attack that he had. This is something that I worry about. What I was wanting to do was try to get Ray's permission to film his entire presentation to me. I was there with a ton of tape, and I was ready to do the whole thing. And he said, "No, he's not ready yet." So, you know, I'm trying my best for everybody's sake, and including moving the field forward. And you know, he does realize that time is that clock is ticking.
Cox?
Yeah. Well, I trust Chris. If Chris is saying, you know, that he's seen this and, you know, he's stated Ray's intentions, then I got to believe them. But obviously Chris knows and I know that isn't going to cut it with some people. And, you know, me personally, I'm just jealous. You know, I would like to see the stuff. And I suppose you could, you know, looking at Ray Stanford, he has this, he's got the science background. He's really worked at this for a long time. But I'm just wondering, well, you know, sometimes we're having a go at NIDS or Bob Bigelow, the black hole of data. But perhaps Bigelow and NIDS have the exact same argument that the reason why they don't wish to disclose data straight away. I don't really know Ted Phillips's reluctance. I don't think he's claiming to be doing the same kind of standard of work that Ray Stanford is. But just for me, the average UFO interest person, it just seems like anyone who has the good stuff has their own reasons for not wanting to share it. And in a way, I can kind of understand it. You could make analogies with other ventures in life where you are working hard to do something, and you know the public at large or a certain section of them would be very interested, but you have your own reasons for not publishing or whatever straight away. I can totally understand that. Like, say, for instance, you could maybe are making what you think is the greatest pop song ever, and you let that slip to a few friends that are into music, and they're saying, "Oh, come on, just play us a few bars." And you think, well, you know, maybe someone might steal that idea, or you just for purely artistic reasons, you don't want it released until it's ready. Most writers, most authors, artists of any kind, they don't like seeing people. Da Vinci wouldn't let you see the Sistine Chapel halfway through. So I do understand that argument. It's just really frustrating being one of the guys who can't get their hands on this. As for Peter Davenport, I cannot understand at all his reluctance to allow you to post that video, mirror the site, or whatever it takes.
Coming up next, we'll have Robert Hastings. He's author of UFOs and Nukes, and he was not at the citizen hearing on disclosure. And we'll find out why and more. With Gene and Chris and Goggs, you're in
the Paracast.
You know, the people we work with the most aren't always the people we see every day. Coworkers work on the go, different offices, clients are spread across the country, around the globe. You know, to work efficiently today, you need to have a stronger connection to your team to build trust and stay focused and brainstorm. And as you know, here on my radio shows, We've got people around the world that we deal with. Well, with GoToMeeting by Citrix, your entire team is just a click away. You can share the same screen and collaborate in real time. Tell me about it, even on your iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What's more amazing than a Swiss Army knife? A survival business card. It's 11 functions rolled into one pocket-sized tool, including a sharp knife, a saw, a bottle opener, and a can opener, too. It even has a wrench. It lays flat, fits right in your wallet. A survival multi-tool for your wallet, leather-like sheath included, designed to be practical and built to last yours free. That's right, free. Claim yours right now while supplies last at freesurvivaltool.com. Again, that's freesurvivaltool.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined by Robert Hastings. He's author of a book called UFOs and Nukes, and it's what the name implies about UFOs seen in and around nuclear weapons installations and sometimes the mischief they cause. Now, Robert, some of the people that you have brought to our attention with regard to UFOs and nukes appeared over at the citizen hearing on disclosure, but you weren't there. Why?
I have a problem with the way Steve Bassett approaches the presentation of UFO-related data in a public venue. The witnesses you just mentioned, the former Air Force missileers, three of whom came to me over the last 3 or 4 years and provided their stories to me before anyone else, as well as Bob Salas, who co-hosted my UFOs and Nukes press conference. All of those people are obviously quite credible. There is documentation backing up a UFO presence at nuclear weapon sites going back to the 1940s. So I don't have a problem with that. However, because Mr. Bassett refuses to vet his witnesses, something he seems to be quite adamant about, I recently listened to a March 1st, 2009 interview you and David Biedney did with him, which I think you should link for your viewers, your listeners rather. I think it's quite clear that he thinks the end justifies the means and he can do anything he needs to or wants to when presenting this information. Consequently, some of the witnesses at the citizen hearing, in my view, were far less than credible. These are people who I've tangled with publicly and privately over the last 25 years. And I'm about to post an article at my website called Citizen Disclosure and Remarkable Revelations Undercut by Damaging Disinformation. It will be up at my website on the articles page by the time this program airs. So in short, I think it's problematic for Mr. Bassett to mingle and mix credible data with quite obviously BS, in my opinion, disinformation presented by what I consider to be the more gullible fringe of ufology. Therefore, I did not want to participate. I'm gratified. I'm thankful that the media and the public responded quite favorably. The congresspersons who heard the testimony to what these ex-missileers, these Air Force missile launch officers and missile guard had to say. But again, I'm happy that that was the outcome, but I wasn't prepared to be involved at the outset.
Yeah. Well, I must say, having seen the entire thing, because I was helping videotape it and stream it, the absolute low point, and there were a number of them, but the absolute low point was the Honorable Paul Hellyer summing up the entire proceedings on the last day by quoting E.T. verbatim to alleged abductee Jim Sparks. I mean, I was trying to tickle my nose so I could do a boof. But I was just really, really not happy hearing this very naive, just true believer, believe anything that you read or told. And then to have the whole thing summed up with, I think, even a questionable E.T. dialogue would be actually being way too kind. To me, it was just, it really threw a pall over the whole thing. And there were quite a number of people in the audience, I could tell, that were just shaking their heads going, oh, you know, you spend 5 days. Admittedly, there were some duds in there, as you pointed out, who I'm happy to name. But to have the whole thing just, it just was like a bucket of ice water thrown over the whole thing in many people's, and it just drove me up the wall.
That's my point precisely. And as long as Bassett's running the show, it is going to be a circus rather than something more resembling a serious disclosure type event. Unfortunately, he seems to be oblivious to the fact that he shoots himself in the foot on a regular basis and, you know, shoots everybody else in the foot who associates with him, in my view, more often than not. I had particular problems with the witnesses who were describing, quote, information from the so-called MJ-12 document, which are overwhelmingly, conclusively proved to be fraudulent. The thrust of my new article is that researchers, including myself, 25 years ago, put the last nail in that coffin. MJ-12 is a hoax, whether it was a disinformation scheme or Bill Moore and crew making money, trying to make money, remains to be seen, remains to be determined, but the overwhelming forensic and anecdotal evidence confirms that MJ-12 is a hoax, and yet you have persons like Linda Howe and Richard Dolan and others who still trot this out as some sort of smoking gun evidence that the Roswell incident was real. Now, I think Roswell was real. I think if you look at the statements by retired Air Force General Arthur E. Exon, who said that this was a recovery of a craft from space, and other credible witnesses that have been brought forth, I think quite clearly Roswell was an extraordinary event. However, that does not excuse the fact that for decades now, for those in the know, which is very distressingly a small number of people, the MJ-12 papers are totally fraudulent. And to mix that sort of nonsense with, for example, the credible testimony presented by these ex-Air Force missile leaders, the nuclear missile officers, is inexcusable in my view. It just muddies the water. As you said, statements by others just bring the whole thing down. This could have been, if Bassett had been less arrogant about his need to vet witnesses and the very real need to do that by anyone who presents this information publicly, he would have had a much more strong, perhaps memorable event. But I think, as you said, people who look at this after the fact on the web, at one website or another, and read about it, a summary of some of the testimony, you know, they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're going to read about the missileers saying UFOs are shutting down nuclear weapons. Then they're going to read about mental telepathy between an MJ-12 witness and an alien captured as presented by Linda Howe. You know, and the whole thing just stinks as a consequence.
I was about to say, when you were uttering that, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, I was going to say throwing out the Bassett with the bathwater.
Good one.
Goggs, you had a comment.
Yes, Robert, I'm pleased to hear that you the decisions why you wanted to stay away from the citizens' hearing. My point is quite simply, aren't all UFO conferences and events of this kind or any kind, they're always marred by non-credible speakers, the woo-woo crowd, the Pleiadian believers and whatever. And my question stroke point, I suppose, is do we just stay away totally because of that, the non-credible element, or do we have to appear to make sure that the side of the credible researcher is shown and that the public don't only get to see the non-credible ones?
Well, your point is absolutely correct. I think in the 31 years that I've been on the college lecture circuit, where I am the only speaker, during that same period, I've spoken at precisely 3 conferences, simply because I did not want my research to be associated with other claims that I consider less than credible. But you're correct. This sort of phenomenon, both the good and the bad, the credible and the ridiculous, are all mixed up into this mess called ufology.
We have to do the break now, then we'll continue with that, Robert, okay? We have Robert Hastings joining Gene and Chris and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The 9th Annual Health Freedom Expo returns June 7th through June 9th at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, featuring over 75 world-renowned doctors, activists, and experts. Meet Dr. Joel Wallach, author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actress and activist Daryl Hannah, famed Dr. Patch Adams, women's health expert Dr. Joan Borisenko, GMO activist Jeffrey Smith, and renowned natural health doctor Dr. Joseph Mercola. Sample delicious, healthy foods. Watch award-winning documentaries. Attend exciting panel discussions. Discover the latest natural health products. And be sure to check out the expo hall, filled with 200 exhibitors. Don't forget about the new interactive pavilions and receive free screenings. It's all here under one roof for only $20 a day or $45 for the entire three-day weekend. It costs less than a doctor's visit. But hurry, tickets are going fast. For tickets and info, visit healthfreedomexpo.com or call 888-658-3972. The Health Freedom Expo, your one source for total natural health solutions.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris, assisted by Gogs Mackay, we have Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes. Right now we're talking about influence by the citizen hearing on disclosure, the fact that there are so many ways of polluting the UFO field. And I wonder here, doesn't the fact that so many good people, good, honest people with lots of information appear at events where less acceptable people are allowed to show up, doesn't that just advance the agenda of someone like a Stephen Bassett? I mean, if Stanton Friedman and Kevin Randall and all the rest of the people said, no, we're not doing it unless you exclude these people, if that doesn't happen, it's just going to go on.
Well, again, I'm an outsider looking in. I don't think I can influence the course of events, and so I'm not going to even try. You mentioned Stanton Friedman. Stan Friedman has done excellent work in the field of ufology. Unfortunately, he's one of those people who has been duped, in my view, by the perpetrators of the MJ-12 hoax. He's never going to admit that. I talked to him at length one-on-one at a conference in Brazil in 2009, and he may have a different memory of it, but my memory was he conceded to me personally that there's really no credible evidence or there's no verifiable way of documenting any of these so-called MJ-12 papers. He can advance, others can advance arguments for their legitimacy, but they all can be explained away with alternate scenarios that point toward a disinformational scheme or just an outright hoax. So I don't think that he'll ever have that conversation publicly. He won't acknowledge that, which is his prerogative. Kevin Randall, you know, is one of the chief people who helped debunk MJ-12 in the article that I'm posting at my website. Again, it should be up by the time this interview airs. I mentioned Randall by name and others, Barry Greenwood, the late Bob Todd, Brad Spark, and myself, people who found just irrefutable smoking gun evidence of the fraudulent nature of the MJ-12 papers. Again, there are people like Linda Howe, who unfortunately was the first person to widely disseminate this crap. She was so duped by Richard Doty and a man named Bob Collins, AFOSI, Air Force Office of Special Investigations at Kirtland Air Force Base. She has never, come to the surface since then. She's just gone further and further down the slippery slope, believing virtually everything she's told by anyone who utters the word MJ-12 and says that he has a knowledge of it. She's just a sucker for that, and it's unfortunate.
Now, when you talk about people like Robert Collins and also Richard Doty, they were genuinely in the military, and you wonder why their superiors haven't simply told them to stop this nonsense.
Well, on the other hand, it can be argued that what they were doing was under orders. I am of the opinion that this was a disinformation thing, not a hoax. And therefore, in fact, Richard Doty, as recently as 2009, I believe, we had a heated email exchange, and he said to me, everything I did under orders. And I think he's telling the truth. In my view, there is substantial evidence throughout the years of disinformational attempts to try to minimize the public's knowledge of the government's interest in UFOs, sleights of hand, as it were. The classic case being the closure of Project Blue Book. With great fanfare, the public was told, hey, the Air Force, after 22 years, found no evidence UFOs exist and is getting out of the UFO investigations business. The media bought it. The public, some number of the public bought it. Years later, through the Freedom of Information Act, documents surfaced confirming, there's one called the Bolander Memo, in particular saying that national security-related UFO incidents were never directed to Blue Book, or at least not systematically directed to Blue Book, and that other groups within the U.S. military were set up to investigate national security-related cases. So the public was told, look over here, not over there. Look over at the closure of Project Blue Book. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, out of public view, we're continuing our investigations of UFO incursions at missile sites, for example, the Office of Special Investigations, which a number of my ex-missile air sources referred to, say they were interviewed or debriefed by agents from that office.
Now, interesting that you sent a link to me, Robert, before we did this show. And the reason I bring it up is because we now have all these stories about governments gone amok, about the U.S. government, about the IRS scandal, so-called scandal, going after conservative political action groups who aren't to be given status as nonprofits, about the issue with regard to sending subpoena out secretly to retrieve telephone logs from the AP because of a possible security leak, all this stuff about government gone amok. And then you send me a story here called How UFO Believers Make Our Government More Transparent. It almost sounds like it argues against that. What's this article about, Robert?
Well, I've only read it once, and then I sent it out. It's less than 12 hours old at this point. I don't even remember the name of the reporter who wrote it, but basically it was sort of a superficial and not very entirely accurate, at least, summary of freedom of information requests relating to UFO documents. The point the reporter was trying to make was that even though it's considered a taboo subject or off-the-wall subject, the fact that UFO researchers have spearheaded the release of government documents on UFOs has allowed other avenues, other documents on other topics, other subject matter to be released as a result of these ongoing efforts by UFO researchers. What the article doesn't say is that, again, we're into this sleight of hand mode where it's been established that the Air Force, let's say, and the CIA selectively release the documents they want to release. The smoking gun documents, the ones that are incriminating, the ones that don't parrot the official line that the government is not interested in UFOs, never see the light of day. They are leaked from time to time. Or peripherally, some reference to the smoking gun documents appear in another document that is released. To cite some examples, in the late 70s, various researchers filed suit with the CIA for its release of UFO documents. There were about 1,000 pages ultimately released at a classification level of secret or lower. years later, Stanton Friedman accessed an NSA national security document through the FOIA that referenced a top secret or a number of top secret CIA UFO documents that the agency had shared with NSA. And so quite clearly, CIA had top secret documents on UFOs that they did not hint existed. They did not certainly release to these researchers in the 70s. When Friedman filed FOIAs to get those top secret CIA UFO documents, they were basically all redacted. They were virtually worthless because all the material had been censored. So that's the kind of sleight of hand game that the reporter writing this article either was unaware of or chose not to mention in her article.
I would assume in most cases when you have articles like this, the person who wrote it really doesn't know anything more than they learned with very brief research. And that's it. That's exactly it.
You know, they have deadlines. They have X amount of hours to do a given story. Then it's on to the next story. So with rare exceptions, the average reporter, even for the premier news organizations in the U.S. really don't have a good sense of the things that we're discussing here today.
We don't have much investigative journalism either. I mean, I read stories here where people will write up a report, and there are critical points that should be mentioned in reference, in point of reference to that story, information that we used to get from the morgue at a newspaper, and they don't look it up online or in their own newspaper's records that either contradict what they're saying or provide a proper reference. There's no frame of reference. Everything exists as a vacuum. So that story is a vacuum.
Part of the problem is the average person may be interested in UFOs, but they've got their day-to-day concerns, you know, to feed their family and so on and so forth. And the amount of time they have to devote to researching this topic is minimal. And also with the Internet, you now have an overwhelming glut of information that's accessible at your fingertips. But, you know, systematically sorting through it and separating the wheat from the chaff, the good articles from the nonsense, is a monumental task. So that is not helpful as well.
We have Robert Hastings. His book is called UFOs and Nukes, subtitled Extraordinary Encounters at Nuclear Weapons Sites. And we'll get into his latest information and your questions, PowerCast listeners, in just a moment. Gox Mackay joins our panel with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia,
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show,
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I ate a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gogs McKay on the panel and Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we welcome back Robert Hastings. It's been roughly 2 years since his last appearance on the Paracast, and I think for people who haven't heard him before, let's quickly recap the core of your interest, then look at some of the latest information here. So you focus primarily on UFOs seen in and around nuclear weapons installations, that's correct?
Yes. My father was career Air Force, and in 1966-67, he was stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana. We lived there for less than a year. However, it just coincidentally coincided with a period of high UFO activity out at the nuclear weapons sites. My dad got wind of it through the rumor mill. He worked at a place called the Sage Building. It housed, among other things, the world's most advanced computer-assisted radar system at that time in the late 60s. There were reports by the military controllers of UFOs maneuvering around the missile sites. I independently, as a junior in high school, 16, 17 years old, worked 3 nights a week at the base air traffic control tower. After several months of having worked there, I made the acquaintance of one of the FAA controllers, and he was quite generous with his time in terms of explaining to me how radar worked and so on. One night I walked through what's called RAPCON, radar approach and control, dark room, several radar screens with guys hunched over them in the dark, walked through, pushing a broom, emptying trash cans, and the same gentleman kind of motioned me over to his scope and said, we're tracking UFOs or unknowns or unidentified targets, whatever term he used. It was clear to me that he was talking about UFOs. So I got all excited and started peppering him with questions. And he kind of like, the look on his face was like, oh crap, I said too much. So he told me to come back later. And when I came back later and cleaned up, I raised the topic again. He didn't want to talk about it. The next time I was there, about 3 days later, I caught him in the break room and I asked him, you know, what was that the other night? He didn't want to talk about it. So I let it go. But it made a memorable impression on me. And by the time I graduated from college in 72 and did a year of graduate school in 73, I started looking for material on nuclear weapons related UFO activity. And lo and behold, I found an article in the December 1966 issue of Saturday Evening Post written by Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was the Blue Book project advisor, civilian advisor and astronomer, in which he was basically discussing UFO activity at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota in August of 66, where UFOs had come in and hovered around those nukes. And when I saw that, I was off and running. It dawned on me that what I had heard from my dad at Malmstrom back in 67 had a basis, you know, in fact. And shortly thereafter, researcher Raymond Fowler, who was a Minuteman missile system contractor for Sylvania Corporation, published a book called UFOs, Interplanetary Visitors. In it, he referenced UFO activity at Malmstrom in 66 and 67, again, corroborating what I had been told and what my father had heard. So, that's what began my interest in this topic. I, at this point, have interviewed over 140 U.S. military veterans who were involved in incidents from the late 40s to last fall, who were involved in incidents or aware of incidents involving UFO incursions at missile sites, weapons storage areas, nuclear bomb test sites, nuclear laboratories such as Los Alamos and Sandia. So it's real, it's important, and it's ongoing.
Gogs, you want to put it in a comment?
Yeah, Robert, just a quick one here. The interest apparently shown by UFOs in nuclear bases, I wonder, have you ever heard during your research of any hint or whatever if the UFOs have ever shown any interest in biological or chemical kind of weapons type places, research places? Is it all nuclear?
I'm asked that question from time to time. I can't honestly address it knowledgeably. It wouldn't surprise me, but I couldn't point to any specific information, credible, verifiable information that has come my way.
Sorry, no, you carry on, Robert. I do have another point, but I'll continue, please.
I was just going to say, to finish a thought, when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there was a period in the early 90s where Western researchers and journalists were able to access previously classified, in fact, still classified, KGB and Ministry of Defense documents. In particular, journalist George Knapp literally smuggled some documents out of Russia in the early 90s relating to UFO activity at Soviet missile sites. There were also interviews conducted by Knapp and others with former Soviet military personnel alluding to these incidents. So whoever is in the UFOs, whatever their game plan is, part of it involves monitoring and tampering with both American and Russian nuclear weapons.
Now, what I always wonder about when we talk about this issue, about tampering with our weapons, that seems to show either a hostile motive on the part of whoever or whatever is piloting UFOs, or some intent to kind of keep us down, prevent us from expanding our nuclear weapons development. I mean, what's the motive behind this?
I can think of a third option. You may have benevolent intentions whereby an advanced race is monitoring a very primitive race, us, who now have, for the first time in our history, weapons that can actually end our civilization if they're used in large numbers. What I tell my lecture audiences, I've spoken at over 500 schools since 1981, is this. Based on the available data, my opinion is that whoever they are wagging a finger at us and the Russians and the other nuclear powers and attempting to tell us that we're playing with fire. So I take a more positive look at the situation, but I quickly tell my lecture audiences, I don't have the inside story on this. No one does. Maybe the folks at the Pentagon and the CIA and the Kremlin don't even know. So we have to look at the whole range of options to account for what has been reported by these ex-military people. And if you look at the other end of the spectrum, if indeed these are extraterrestrial visitors, they're could be ill intent toward humankind. There may be designs on our planet. They may intend some invasion at some point in time, and they simply don't want to inherit a radioactive husk. Therefore, they are attempting to, as you said, dissuade us or shut down our ability to use nuclear weapons. Now, I personally do not believe that is the case. I personally am inclined to think that you have, as I said, an advanced race who seemingly has our best interests at heart and is just planning to step in on a limited on-again, off-again basis, to keep us from making a fatal mistake and launching a major nuclear war.
One thing that I've often wondered about, Robert, and, I recall reading your book but not seeing information that verifies this, but have these objects ever showed up and actually changed telemetry data on let's say, a missile site, changed the actual target, let's say?
What I have is secondhand information that target tapes have been erased, meaning that even if a missile was launched, it could not have hit its designated target. The persons who've told me that were not directly involved in the missile maintenance or targeting groups who would have discovered that if indeed it did take place. But they were missile launch officers who heard through the grapevine within, the missileer group. You have launch officers, you have maintenance personnel, and you have targeting personnel, and there is some bleed over from group to group in terms of what's being reported, whether it's officially or via the rumor mill. And so I have heard on, I think, two occasions, indirect references to when the missile targeting guys went in, they found that the targeting codes had been scrambled. What I have as firsthand testimony from a number of people at Malmstrom, Minot, Ellsworth Air Force Base, F.E. Warren, is that missiles dropped offline, and when they were inspected, it was found that their GNC, the guidance and control systems, were scrambled. In other words, even if they had been launched, they could not have found their targets. But there was no specific reference within the guidance system to the targeting tapes from these firsthand witnesses.
Just want to tell our listeners that next week on the PowerCast, we'll be featuring the return of Leslie Kane, and she's going to bring with her to the second half of the show Charles Hault, of course, one of the figures in the Rendlesham UFO case. Leslie Kane was also not present nor invited to the citizen hearing on disclosure. So you look at the esteemed people who didn't go there, and that brings up lots of interesting reasons, lots of interesting things to talk about. Leslie Kane, Charles Hault, on next week's episode. As always, if you have a comment or question, write us, news@thepowercast.com, news@thepowercast.com. We have Gogs Mackay, our guest panelist. Our main guest this week is Robert Hastings. He's author of a book called UFOs and Nukes. And you're on with Gene and Chris, because you're in
the PowerCast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.